This is the Apache Kippel crash course, which is basically me reading off some slides about Apache Kippel, which is also basically me, meaning I made most of it. And so I'm just going to walk you through some of the features, quick notes about how to set it up, and then what it does, how it does it, and what are the cool features, and then maybe a little segue towards the end. So what is Kippel? Kippel is an activity aggregator and visualizer, which means it takes activity in software development, such as code, email, pull request issues, Jira tickets, and so on, and converts it into a common format that is then aggregated on the fly by the Kippel master server and presented to people in a visually pleasing way so that they can spot trends, figure out what's going on, how's the project doing, how was it doing, how may it be doing in the future. So you write your code, you send your emails, you file your tickets, you join discussions, you do a lot of things. You tweet, you send angry emails, send happy emails, and it picks it all up, puts it in a very large database of everything that goes on, and then pulls out the important bits and presents it to you in a way that you, as a human being, can visually understand instead of it just being raw data. So it aims to solve, as I probably already said, a lot of issues that we as community developers and analysts work on, and provides a lot of answers, not questions, sadly. Provides a lot of data answers to the questions that we have, and especially at Apache, in our quarterly lives. And by that I mean a lot of projects need to file a quarterly report, so they need to go in and see how is the project doing. Is it doing okay? Is there a good commit activity? Are people talking to each other? Who's talking to each other? How are they talking to each other? And then relay that information to the board. And Kippel can help with that. It can also help in any other organization where you want to see either a snapshot of what's going on, or you want to look back, or you want to look forward. Especially there's in Linux Foundation, there is a group or a project called Chaos, which is has been set up to basically define some standards as to which key performance indicators are the best for determining how a project is doing and what it is doing. And Kippel is pretty much following the Chaos specifications and producing data that can be used in projects that are also using the Chaos or any other project that wants to go in and see what is going on. There's a specific thing that's called growth, maturity, and decline, which I'll come back to later on, which is very interesting for Apache projects. And lastly, you can use Kippel and projects like Kippel to help define what metrics you want to measure and how you want to measure them by simply putting data and playing with it, seeing, you know, you can see the visualization, the visual representation. Sorry, I'm mixing some words up here. You can go and you can play around. You can say, okay, I want to see this, I want to see that, and you get a visual representation back. And you can say, okay, this is useful, or this is not useful, and you can use that to help your project or your organization develop new key performance indicators by simply using it as a playground. Setting up Kippel is quite easy. As you can read there, you can get yourself preferably a Linux box. It also works on Windows with some magic involved. Get Elasticsearch. It works with Elasticsearch 2.4 and all the way up to the brand new 8.x that hasn't been released yet. Figures it all out in the back end. You clone the server repo. I'll show you the URLs at the end. They're all on GitHub. Run the setup the Pi program, and that is basically it. You have a Kibble server up running. Then you need to feed it some data from the various sources you have, which I will show later on, which is done by you. Again, you clone the nodes instead of the server. You run the setup program. You say this is where the server is, and then you run the node program, which will then connect to the server, figure out what type of resources it needs to scan them, relay the data back, and that's it. And then you just, you know, rinse and repeat every day or every week or however often you want to do a scan. Finally, you just the Kibble server has a user interface. You hook it up with a whiskey process. You can use GUnicorn, for example, and then have Apache as a front end. And then you just log into whatever box you put it on, and you're good to go. Okay, so Kibble operates through four stages. It scrapes, it reduces, it aggregates, and it visualizes. The first stage is basically you have a Kibble node, which is like a little box. It can be on the master, it can be in AWS, it can be wherever you want it to be, and you can have multiple of them. And they go in and scan how many resources you want them to scan, scrape all the data, and relay the common format data back to the master. That is, my slides are mixed up. So let's just see. These are the various resources that we can currently scan. We are working on more, but these are the most common resources that we at the Apache Software Foundation have found that we need. So these are the ones we started to build scanners for. It's all very modular in that you can build a new scanner. You just add a new Python file and basically copy the skeleton code from another scanner, and then you just say, okay, I have a GitHub scanner. I'm just going to tweak it to work with GitLab, and then you have a GitLab scanner, which is hopefully coming up. Anyway, it supports Garrett, Git, GitHub, Piper Mail, Pony Mail, Twitter, Travis, BuildBot, Jenkins, Mozilla, Discourse, Jira, and hopefully soon GitLab. Subversion is surprisingly difficult to scan because you can't just download everything from Subversion and then just scan it locally like you can with Git. You have to query the server for every single commit, which takes quite a while. So that has been pending because we at Apache have a Git mirror of every single Subversion repository. So it was easier for us to just start with a Git scanner and then say we'll add the Subversion later. But it is coming through necessity. And there will be extended GitHub features as well. Stars and forks and all that stuff has not been added yet, but people have said that they would like to see that in it as well. Finally, we are working on something called issue resolution response rates, which is basically how quickly does a ticket get responded to, how quickly does it get resolved relative to when it was opened. And a lot of people want that as a measure of how fast are we clearing our backlog. So we are working on that. As I said, ish, you can, it scrapes code, commits code evolution, pull requests, issues, Jira tickets, social media trends, emails, forums, discussions. It also goes in with currently emails and measures the sentiment of an email. That is, it can query services like Watson or Microsoft Sentiment Analysis or Pico API and go and look, is this a happy email? Is this a sad? Are people angry? And then you can pull that all in and you can see, well, is a project happy? Is a project sad? Is there a specific email list where there might be cause for concern? Which I think is pretty cool. A contributor retention, we'll come back to that. Basically, Git, Jira, Subversion, emails, all of that, they all have some common factors that the Kibble scrape goes in sorts out and then spits back to the master in a unified common format so that all resources have essentially the same objects in them, meaning we can go in and we can look at emails, we can look at commits, we can look at tickets, we can look at everything in a common way because they're all represented in the same way with a few additional metadata things, such as, for example, how many lines of code is in a commit or how old is a ticket and so on. But essentially, all objects from all the different resources are represented internally in the same way so that you can do cross-examination of it. Aggregation, Kibble has the following key performance indicators. Chaos definitions are the de facto standard names for these things. We started Kibble before Chaos started, so we have a lot of different names in Kibble as opposed to Chaos. For example, we have pony factor instead of bus factor because we came up with a pony factor before bus factor was a thing. But the rest of them are pretty much identical. Why don't we just get some screenshots? There is a Chromebook at the ASF booth. You can go on that and go look at the Kibble demo. You can also pull out your laptops and go to the URL, which will be on the next slide, and you can try the Kibble demo in real time. We have managed, through the grace of a company that shall remain anonymous, to get a server big enough to put all of the ASF's activity from 1994 and until now into this Kibble UI so that you can actually go in and see every single project and everything that has happened at the ASF from back then and until now and visualize that. So this is what Kibble looks like, and there's the demo URL. It sometimes requires two logins. There's a bit of a bug, sorry. But this is the basic concept of Kibble. You have, at the top, you have some selectors where you can select what do you want to see, when do you want to see it from, and when do you want to see it to, and if there are any specific sources you want to see or a pattern you want to recommend, look at. And then the orange menu and the blue menu are basically top categories and subcategories of the different visualizations that you can go in and see. Three important tools that you should really know. The first is the date picker, which is basically if you want to see an evolution or a trend, for example, from the past year or the past 2 years or 3 months ago till 2 months ago, you go in, you set up the period you want to analyze, and then that's what it spits out. It defaults to the past 6 months. The next one is the subfilter, which is an ingenious little thing in that you can tell it pretty much anything as long as it's a valid regular expression. If you want to see anything dealing with the Apache HTTP server, you type in httpd, and you click on subfilter. It finds all the emails, all the repositories, all the issues, everything that has to do with that project. You can also, as I have done here, type incubator-plus.git, and it'll find all incubating projects, Git repositories, and show code commits for only those. The last one is the single source picker. If you want to go in and really nitpick and find a single mailing list or a single Git repository or a single issue tracker, you can go in and select that. This is basically a snapshot of code stats. So you have lines changed. You have code evolution, which is an iterative thing that shows you how a project's code base has evolved over time. You can see the code, the blanks, and the comments. And this is pretty cool for ASF because if you go and you select the entire ASF, you will see that that number over there hits 250 million lines of code that are presently in our code base, which is pretty impressive. There's also some standard stuff like top repos by lines of code or number of commits. And then there are pony factors, which some of you may know as bus factor or whale factor. It goes by a lot of names. Pony factor is how many committers make up the majority of commits in a single repo or multiple repos. And it's generally used in the ASF as a measure of what does it take, pardon my friends, to kill a project. How many people are responsible for the driving force of a project, and how many people would you have to lose before the project goes stale and dies off? So it's a very important factor, and roughly, I would say, if you have a pony factor of 5 or above for a project, that's really good, meaning that 5 people are responsible for the majority of the code base. After I wrote this talk, in February this year with Sharon for FOSDEM. It was actually a 30-minute talk that we had to do in 10 minutes because it turned out it was a lightning talk. We were not informed. But since then, a new feature has been added to Kibble, which is this hourly commit activity across weekdays. It's basically a punch card for every single project. You can go in and you can see when are people actively contributing to a project. This is the HTTP server, and as you can see, people are largely European-based these days by the when people are committing, because from 7, this is, by the way, in UTC or GMT. So this would be commits starting at around 8 a.m. Central European time. And you can go in and look at any project, and you can pretty much do an educated guess as to where is the majority of the committer base located by looking at the timestamps, which is pretty neat because you can go and you can see, is this a diverse project or is it centered in a very specific region? And with HTTPD, we have actually seen a shift over the past 20 years by looking at these timestamps from it being completely centered in the United States to slowly moving over and now being completely centered in Europe, which is cool, I guess. But that is the fact. Issue tracking, basically the same as code commits, but this is tracking issues. We have it split so that for GitHub and GitLab, when it shows up eventually, you can go in and you can see issues open, issues closed, but also pull requests open, pull requests closed. You can see how many people are opening and closing issues. You can see how old are issues. That is always going to be a curve. It represents how many tickets are how old. So you'll see at the bottom that there are very, very few tickets that are from 2001 in this case, and there are there's a lot of peak tickets that are very recent. You can see the top 5 or top 10 people that open issues, people that close them, people that comment on them. And you can see the most active issues. I should say that with the previous page, this one, I'm missing. Coming back. You can also see with code commits how many people are committing, how many lines of codes are being committed, how many changes are being done, and you can split that up into quarters or months or years, so you can get a feel for how many people are doing something every month, how many people are doing something every quarter or every year, and the program just figures that all out and displays that for you, which is very good for Apache projects wanting to see how active were we the past quarter and what do we tell the board when we do a report. Continuous integration, Travis, Billbot, Jenkins, is something that we use a lot at Apache infrastructure, mostly for figuring out which projects are overly abusing our CI resources. You can go and you can see the wait time of builds. You can see how many builds are stuck. You can go and see what's the average build time. You can see which projects, that is, which repositories require the most build time, which projects do the most builds, and so on. and get a general feel for, is there any contention going on in our CI pipeline? Mailing lists, again, kind of the same as issue trackers. You can go and see how many emails on these topics. You can see the most active people sending emails. You can go and see the most active topics. And there is also for every single major category, such as email, issue trackers, code, there is something called a trend, which is up at top, in the middle in this case, that just has a general message saying this is how many people are currently involved in this quarter or year or whatever. This is how many topics have been discussed. This is how many emails. So you can get a very quick overview of the activity. Active contributors. I picked the HTTP server for this and the past 6 months, and it spit out every single person that has actively been contributing to this project, be it email, be it code, be it issue trackers. It tracks pretty much everyone, and it's probably in violation of GDPR, but who cares? And you can then see everyone. You can see how many contributions, that is, how many emails or code or tickets or whatever they've made in this past time period. You can go and click on a single person, for example, myself. You can go in and see, what have I been doing? This is how many changes I've made. This is how many commits I've made. This is where I commit to. You can see how many emails I've written. You can see what the most active Jira or GitHub issues are. And you can see which issue triggers I am involved with. You can also see the emails I send. You can also see who am I sending emails to. So I'm in the center, and sadly, this is a 720p monitor, so you probably can't read it. But you can go in and actually see every single person I've been in contact with over the past 6 months. You can click on them, and you can get their profiles as well, which is you can also see how many emails I've sent to each specific person and how many emails they've sent to me. You can inverse that map, and you can see their interactions with me instead. Contributor growth, we are moving into the community development aspect of things. This is again the HTTP server. I am looking at who have started contributing to the Apache HTTP server who have not been contributing before. So it goes and finds everyone that's been contributing this past 6 months. For each of them, it says, have you been contributing before? And if you haven't, it lists them. So you can go in and see, okay, are we getting a new lot in our project, or is it just stagnating? And HTTPD is always a rather slow-moving project, so even having one person show up this past 6 months is a good thing. You can also see issue contributors, and I think also who has started writing emails now that I've never written emails before. But that is a bit confusing. Contributor retention. This is basically, are we holding on to the people that were in the project from the beginning or from the middle or a month ago, or are they dropping out? This basically shows, is there a momentum in the project, or is it stagnating, is it dying out? We also have the, on the right side, you can see, if you can make it out, how long have people been involved with the project? The people that are currently involved with the project, what is their experience with the project? And as you can see with HTTP, that... is it HTTP? Oh, it's Beam. Sorry. It's very blurry. This is Apache Beams. You can go in and you can see how many years have they been involved with Apache Beam, the people that are currently involved with it. And you can see that 12.5% have good experience, then we have 28.4% with a moderate experience, and the majority of people are newcomers to this project, meaning it's attracting a lot of new blood, which is generally a very good sign for a project. You can see that for both code, you can see it for issues, you can see it for emails. So you can get a general feel of, you can get a general feel of the health and the momentum of the project. This is an anonymous butte climbing project. This is a very old project at Apache. As you can see, it had a very, very nice spike at around 2000, where people were really interested in this project, and then it's slowly declining, but it's not dead yet. But it is declining, and the spam aside. So what can you do here? Is this cause for concern? Should we do something about it, or is it just the natural evolution of a project? I don't know the answer, but you can form these concerns, these questions when you go in and you see, oh, there's something wrong, or is there something wrong? Do we need to do something, or what's going on? In this case, it is just a project that is getting old. It's not dead, but it's just, there are other alternatives to this project now. As I showed before, there's also the interactive discussion mapping for mailing lists. You can go and you can see who's talking to whom, how many emails are they writing, who are they conversing with the most. This can be used to see if there is not a benevolent dictator, but if this conversation is centered around maybe two or three people and that's it, then that could be cause for, is there enough diversity in this? Are there people steamrolling a project? Not saying there is in this project, but you can go in and you can get a feel for how diverse is the discussion, how diverse is the group of people discussing something, and who is generally discussing what with whom. The same goes for code contributor. We can go in and see Mike is contributing to Apache Tomcat. He's also contributing to Apache Traffic Server, for example. So there is a common committer between those two. And Joe is committing to Traffic Server and also to Beam. So those three projects get things together. And as you progress and you add more committers, you can go in and see that there's a lot of overlap in Apache. Generally just a fun graph that shows that Apache is not 243 silos. It is actually a big mesh with a lot of contributors wanting to engage in the larger Apache family, wanting to do something for the common, the greater good, and not just because their boss says you have to work on that project, which I find to be very cool. Sentiment analysis. Yeah, this is what I talked about earlier. We can go and we can see, is a mailing list considered to be happy? Is it sad? Is there anxiety on the mailing list? Typically, we've found that development mailing lists are generally in a good mood, but of a stern nature. We found that user lists are generally anxious, sometimes sad, and sometimes very happy. It varies from list to list, but I found some very, very anxious user lists. And that is generally because people come to the user list for help. Something burned down. Something got stuck. And we can actually go in and detect that. We can also look at some private lists. I'm not going to show you the private lists here because some of them are very angry. But it is fun that we can actually go in and see what the mood is like. And we can do comparative analysis with every other project at Apache or every other project in whatever organization you're scanning. And you can see how is a mailing list doing compared to others. Is there generally a good mood compared to others? Is there generally a sad mood or, you know, joy, neutral, surprise, anticipation? There's a lot of different factors we can go in and look at. So if there's a little toggle button, if you click that, it goes in and says, how is the overall mood compared to all the other projects at Apache, which is pretty cool.
Oops.
Yeah, nobody expects the anyway, and so I'll segue you in. Not even me, because I'm prepared. Kibble and siblings like Grimoire and Boss, Grafana, Kibana, all those tools are really great at shoving data in your face. Here's the data. Make a story. Tell me what's going on. Which is okay, But as a community developer, as a community growth hacker, the people that are really interested in what is going on in a community, not specifically what's going on in the code base or how many tickets are being opened and closed, but what's going on in the community, they can't really use a lot of this data. They don't know what they're looking for. So what we should be starting to do is, instead of saying, use the data, make up a story, we should, with Kipple, with the other projects, in my opinion, and in someone else who is not here's opinion, start with, what is the story that we want to tell about communities? What is the questions we have? What do we want the story to be? What do we want the story not to be? Work from the storyline that we are expecting, the items that is earning within us, the stuff we want to tell, the stuff we want to do, and then from that, form a series of data representations that can perhaps guide the story, but start with the story instead of starting with the data. Because if we start with the data, unfortunately, and this is also true for Apache, if you start pushing 50 lines of data, 50 lines of trends at a chairman for a project, then the board report from that project is probably going to be those 50 lines. And that's not what you want. That's not the story of how is the project doing, what's going on, why is the data like that. So we should kind of turn Kipple on its head and start asking, what do you expect to get from using a project like Kipple? And I would really, really like if people would come on the mailing list and tell their stories about what are they expecting to get from a project like this. What is why would people use a project like this? What do they hope to get out of it? What is their current situation? Why are they looking for a activity aggregator? So that we can start figuring out how do we help people create their story and not just shove data in their faces. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know. So if anyone has a story they want to tell, or a story about what story they would want to tell, then I'm all ears, and I'll be here at the conference for the rest of the day and tomorrow. So if anyone has any fun ideas to what could an activity aggregator do, come and ask me. You can also join the mailing list. There is the users app, there's the dev app. They're pretty quiet usually, because the project, it just works. There's not a lot of stuff, not a lot of bugs, and people are generally content with the features that are available. If you want to toy with it, if you want to install Kipple yourself and maybe find some features that you would want added or find some bugs, which would be great, there's the read the docs URL for the documentation that will show you how to set it up in detail. If you find something wrong, go to the GitHub and submit a PR or an issue or whatever, and we will usually fix your issue or add your feature within a week. And by we, I mean me, sadly. And I think that's it. Oh, thanks so much. See, that's leftover slide from the FileStem presentation. As I said, more ideas for visualization, more ideas for which types of data, which resources do people want to scan. We really want more users. We really want more contributors because it's not fun doing this alone. That's it. Any questions? Hello. Yes.
So you showed an hourly commit activity. And
did I?
Yes, you did. You showed us that HTTPD is primarily getting.
The punch card. Yes, that's one. Yeah.
So, do you have that type of display for other types of activity?
In theory, yes. It is. You can add it if you install the Kipple server. You can go and you can edit. Everything is in YAML. All the widgets are in YAML. You go in and you define a widget saying, I want to see commit activity. I want to see it as a punch card. I want it to be this wide. And it spits it out. So you could go, it's not part of the default widget setup, but you could go add it as a new widget or replace the existing Prince Card widget. And it would just do the right thing. And,
all right. And so you also showed a widget that displayed new contributors.
Yes.
Who have shown up.
This one? Yeah.
Could you also show contributors who are starting to contribute less compared to historical? Or maybe
yes.
You haven't seen in months.
That is a... We have... you can actually see who is in the contributor retention. You can see who's dropping out, how many people are dropping out.
Okay.
You can't see it in detail as which specific persons are dropping out yet. But it does keep track of it. So it is present in the raw JSON data that gets spit out. We just don't have a visualization for it yet.
All right. Final question. I'll shut up. Is there a scanner for Slack or IRC?
There is a scanner for IRC, yes. There is not a scanner for Slack because no one has asked about it yet.
Okay.
Which is, you know, surprising, but...
All right.
If people have ideas like that for new scanners, please let us know the dev at Kibble so we can get them out of it. Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Guy in the back.
So you've talked about using Kibble for Project Health, but has anyone thought about or talked about using it for team health? So
define team health.
So a distributed team across the large remote area that doesn't necessarily go into the office every day, or a team that does work in the office and is looking to do more remote work, how switching those roles would be, how that would affect the code that they're putting in mailing list traffic and that kind of stuff.
I'm not sure I follow.
Okay.
He's talking about looking at employee health.
Right. As, like,
so
as
if you wanted to manage the health of your many employees...
Versus specifically Project Health.
If it's something that is available as data that can be scraped, then you can visualize it. It's Kibble is very modular. You can visualize anything. You just have to define a widget for it. You can take every single... let me just go back here to the standard view. Like every single of these widgets, you can change even on the fly on the web page. You can go in and change how they are visualized. So if it's something that you can scrape, you can go in and visualize it right away.
Right. So the reason that I thought about that
just
is
build
that
a scanner for
the email smiley face frowny face analysis yet. So that's the first time I saw that.
Okay. Yeah. That has actually been used in a paper by a certain young lady. Yes?
Does Kibble provide some out-of-the-box widgets?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything you've seen in these files is out-of-the-box widgets. And there is basically just a YAML file called widgets.yaml. And it has all the definitions of the widgets. And you can go in and you can edit that. And you just reload the server and you got new visualizations. You can... The UI is still a bit patchy in that some of the pages are just HTML following codes of HTML, and then
could you show us some of that YAML?
I probably can.
In a font larger than your slides.
Let's see here. That's not a yellow. Let's see here. API, full screen, YAML, and we got the widgets.yaml here. So this is how widgets are defined. You can see it's pretty much a table layout. You got your rows, you got your columns, and they have each widget has a paragraph in which you can put a specific number of widgets. And they all have names, and you can see this is a trend widget. It's 12 blocks wide, and it runs off the trends API call. So it runs an internal visualization function called trends. There is, let's go down a bit. Pony factors, that's just a standard chart with a line. So it grabs whatever JSON, all the JSON from the different API points are represented in pretty much the exact same way. So code, email issues, smiley face, frowny face, continuous integration is all represented in the same JSON format, which means that you can use any chart you want. You can just switch it over, and it'll adapt to that. So these are line charts. You can have there's quite a few widgets, by the way. You can have donut charts. You can have top five. You can have the punch card, for example, which is the one you talked about, the when people do stuff. Donuts, pies, lines, bars, stack bars, all the standard stuff you would see in an Excel spreadsheet, you can have, and you can also on the fly change them to whatever you want. So you can even, you can go in, you can edit the widgets, or you can go in with the existing widget and say, I'm going to change it on the fly to a different type of chart. Or I want it to pull some different data in. You can also go in by hand in every single widget. There are, I'm just going to show you. If you can see it, there are, I'm going to find the biggest image there.
Okay.
There are quite a few tiny icons up here. This is the sub-filter where you can go and you can see subsection. This is where you can go in and actually hand-edit the data. You get a big table, you can go and edit it. This is if you want it as a stack line chart. You can have just a line chart, you can have a bar chart. You can expand every single widget to full screen. You can go in and just view the data, or you can go in and save it as either a PNG file or an SVG file, if you want to print it out somehow. So yeah, you can go in manually on the fly, have a lot of fun with the data. And yeah, if people have any ideas for different ways of either getting data or displaying it, then the project is all ears. Just let us know on the dev list. Oh, that is all. We are kind of out of time, so thank you. Any other questions? We have 4 minutes. Or do we? No. Okay, well, thank you for coming.
Thank you.